This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, how you doing there, Mike?
Well, I'm warm now, but I was not warm until I entered the building.
Yeah.
It
was
a little cool out there.
It was a little warmer this afternoon, though, I thought.
You know, I had two plant deliveries to the coast yesterday.
Yeah.
And one was in Coquille, and one was in north of North Bend out to Roseburg Forest Products. And it was foggy here when I left.
Of course.
Big time thick.
Yeah.
And I get to Camas Valley, and it's really thick. And about a mile past Camas Valley, all of a sudden the sky was blue. There was a cloud in the sky. And I drove all the way to the coast. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was 54 degrees, and I even rode with my window down. You know, I mean, that's how, and I thought, look at this. This is amazing.
Mm.
And, you know, by the time I was headed back, you know, a couple hours later, it was clear all the way to Camas Valley. And that big fog belt was still sitting in Camas Valley.
My wife must have been there, ex-wife.
Oh, well, I didn't see her.
You didn't?
No, I just saw the fog.
Was too thick.
Fog was too thick. Yeah, okay. This is an educational show about gardens and landscaping and plants and how to put them in the ground and how to tear them out and whatever else you want to do to those dudes. But I want to thank you for listening, and hopefully I can educate some folks here as to how to plant or what to plant and when to plant, those kinds of things. And if you have a call, you have a question, you can call here at 673-4464. At 673-4464.
Yep.
And it's, you know, put a 541 on the front part
of course.
You know.
I think everybody knows that by now.
You think so?
After 58 years.
You think? I don't know. You know, this is in connection to yesterday's ride, too. As I was coming back,
mm-hmm.
I went, wow, it's 4 o'clock. I think I'll listen. And or whenever I missed last Wednesday I missed.
Yeah.
And I was 4 o'clock and I was driving somewhere and so I tuned my show in. That is the first time I've ever heard my show since I've been on the air.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
then
I thought, well, you know, people actually listen to me.
Yeah, it's a shocker when you first hear your voice.
Yeah. And so I listened to the whole thing. I can't even tell you what it was about. But
I can't either, and I was here, too.
But, you know, I mean, 17 years I've been on this thing, and that's the very first time. You know, people say, oh, yeah, I listened to your show. That was great. Thank you, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, I've never heard it. I've never heard that, dude.
We do a lot of other recordings around here, and I never like to hear my voice.
I thought, that's me?
Yeah.
That's what I sound like? What's wrong with me? Huh?
Oh, we did have a call. Sorry.
Already?
I'll make sure they're... Uh-oh. Yeah. They went away.
Come on back. Please call back. We were talking some things, and somehow this engineer here missed it. Not me, because I don't do the buttons. I just do the talking.
Yeah, when in doubt.
Yeah. Well, before I came here, I had some...
There it is.
Oh, my call's back. All right.
Let me get this situated here.
Okay.
Are you there? Good afternoon.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. You're
hello?
On the air with Mike.
Hello.
Hey, Mike. Can I go ahead?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So, Mike, is right now a good time to trim shrubs?
Yes, it is. And what kind of shrub are you speaking about?
These are the like red tip photina.
Oh yeah, definitely. They're tough.
Burning bushes.
Yeah, they're that would be fine. One thing you want to make sure of is I wouldn't plant it, you know, first thing in the morning when the temperature was 29 or 30 degrees. I'd wait till the afternoon till it got up into the 40s or something like that, because you're going to be exposing roots and things. And just make sure that when you when you plant.
Now, this is trimming.
Oh, trimming. I'm sorry.
Not planting, trimming.
Yeah. No problem. It's good. It doesn't matter how cold it is when you're trimming. I thought you said planting. I'm sorry.
No, trimming.
Okay. No, it's great. Are they large, or the photinia, the red tips?
They're medium.
Medium. About how tall?
Burning bushes are really tall, but I wanted to trim them now, if it was okay.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is okay. You've got from now till, say, mid-February, and you're not going to be hurting anything. And
okay.
They're dormant. They don't even feel it, and it's a good time. And especially
okay.
if you're going to do, like, a real maximum job on it, let's say they're 7 feet tall and you only want them 3 feet tall, go ahead and whack them.
Okay.
Doesn't hurt.
All right.
Just use sharp.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Just use sharp tools so you have a clean cut.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for
the
call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All righty.
Yeah.
Burning bushes. I never knew that was the name of a...
Well, there are a shrub that... they can grow, 5-6 feet tall.
Huh.
And there's some... along the Stewart Parkway, right before you get to the Y, on the right-hand side, on the front end of Legion Field, there are some trees,
yeah.
and there are burning bushes in between the trees.
Oh, that's what those are.
Yeah,
okay.
And in the fall, they turn super red. Yeah, really, really pretty. And
that's the name.
Right, burning bush. That's not the scientific name. That's the common name. But when they turn color, they are striking. I mean, it's just like... real red. That's when people start calling the nursery or coming into the nursery and say, hey, those plants over there at the YMCA, what are they? And so you go over there and show them what they are. Ours, of course, are not that large, but they're starting to color up, and they're just tough. You can't. It's almost impossible to kill them. I guess you could throw gasoline on them and torch them, and that would kill them. But, I mean, they are one of those real tough plants.
Yeah.
They're pretty much deer-proof. No disease or virus seems to hurt them.
Nice.
And they're like a moderate-type grower. They don't shoot straight up, in 2 years. But they're kind of rounded. And when you prune them, you can shape them. I've seen some that people pruned into box shape, square.
Oh, yeah.
And they could be a hedge if you wanted to, but they're more or less an accent plant. Let's say you've got a bunch of real green things in your yard and you want, you're tired of just green. So you spot a few of these in around amongst the green things, and then it brings the whole thing into a different
perspective,
different picture.
Yeah.
Totally. So
nice.
Yeah, they're good. Like I say, today, after the fog went by, I had about an hour to kill before I came here.
Uh-huh.
So I drove out Sunshine Road, hadn't been, out there in a while, and was always when I lived in town, it was always one of my favorite drives because it's right on the edge of town and you go on out there. And it was amazing as I was driving out there an hour ago. The way the sun was, the way the sky was, and it was just so beautiful. I thought, if people that are on vacation ever came and drove up this road, they just automatically want to stay here.
That's all
there is to it. It was so, so beautiful out there.
I remember back in the 70s, there wasn't anything out there.
I know. And there's a few ranches out there now. I mean, they're long-time ranches. I got a friend that lives clear on the end of it. You just keep going and going and going, and the gravel starts, and there's three gates you got to go through.
Wow.
And this is a ranch that he inherited from his father.
He doesn't like company, does he?
Well, he doesn't live there. They just run cows on the place. But
gotcha.
But it's huge, and it's all the way at the end, and the North Umpqua River fronts about a half a mile of his property.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, it's just amazing. They don't have a house out there. There's a kind of a pretty barn that we had a picnic and that kind of stuff, and they have a kitchen and, kind of one big room, and, it's an old-fashioned kind of deal. But boy, I'll tell you, if I owned that, I would live there. He lives in town.
Does he? Thinking,
yeah, and I said,
what's
TJ,
wrong with that guy?
Go out there. Go out there. Yeah. Why don't you live here? This is so beautiful. You know, and it's so isolated. There's no other way to get in there.
Yeah.
And like I say, the North Umpqua, there's a bluff, and the North Umpqua is about 100 feet down off the bluff, and you can look up the river and down the river.
Fish, whatever you
beautiful,
want to do.
Beautiful country.
Yeah.
Oh, is. This is a gardening show, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Not a travel show.
And it's
show.
Time for a break already.
Already? It, really?
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
All right. See, we get carried off into the weeds, so
yeah.
to speak.
Well, we'll spray them with Roundup.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, right here, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, it's 4:22 already, Mike. I suppose we should get back to business here.
Yeah, we probably should. And if you have a call, 673-4464, if you have a question about pruning or planting or, you know, doing some landscape work, whatever, just give us a call. It's 673-4464. And it doesn't matter what I'm talking about. I'll interrupt my speech there long enough to listen to your call, and we'll have a conversation, and I'll give you a solution. Okay?
I'll even interrupt him so I can get you on the air. Yeah,
exactly.
There you
go. He does that consistently, too. But anyway, I want to say Merry Christmas to all my listeners out there. I know it's a little early yet, but it is, what, the 2nd of December?
Yes.
Or the 3rd?
Yes,
somewhere
second,
in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, thank you for listening for all these years and to me every week. And sometimes I'm a little repetitious, but I find that the repetition actually penetrates the brain better, mm-hmm. and it does with me at least. And if somebody tells me something three times, I usually, you know, catch on.
Hey, we got a call.
All right, let's hear it.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, Mike, are you thatching at this time of the year?
You could, but it's the ground is awfully wet, and if you go too deep with the thatcher, you can, you know, kind of tear up more ground that's necessary. Usually we thatch in the summertime, even into late fall before it gets too wet and muddy.
Okay.
But if you wanted to thatch, you know, without a machine, you could just use a regular garden rake and just get in there and rake, you know, cut the lawn real short and cut, and then just take the garden rake and just kind of firmly rake out the dead stuff. That wouldn't hurt anything, but a machine might do a little damage if you weren't careful.
How heavy are those machines? I have a little 1 foot curb I have to get up over the top of.
Well, you probably want some like some sort of a ramp. One person cannot lift it. Okay,
right.
They're heavy. They're very heavy. So you might want to have a little ramp to get over the curb and get onto your lawn area.
Okay, but I should probably stall and do it closer to warmer weather.
Yeah, yeah. It would even, you know, like April, May would be. would be okay, because then it has the rest of summer to grow and fill in and all that. And when you thatch, when we thatch for a client, we also aerate after we thatch. The step step one is to cut it short. Step two is to thatch it and get all the dead stuff out. And step three is to aerate, and that's pulling plugs from the soil, and then we fertilize it very heavily and sock the water to it, and then that way the fertilizer can actually get to the root systems of the grass that's left.
Right. And when you thatch, you need a dump truck to haul the thatch off, don't you?
how big's your lawn?
Well, it's not that big. But
usually we do it with a pickup truck or two pickup trucks. You know, there's a lot. You'd be amazed at how much of material, dead material, comes out of a lawn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All righty.
Yeah. Thatching this time of year would be, you know, like I say, that machine is heavy, and there's an adjustment on how deep you can go. What it is a series of steel teeth, if you will, that spin on a bar.
Like a rototiller?
Yeah, like a rototiller, only there's about 100 of them, you know, and maybe not 100, but it seems like it. And it's pretty powerful machine, and as you're going through, it's just tearing up all the dead stuff. You know, the live stuff doesn't come out, but all the dead stuff. And you look behind you, and there's this trail of dead grass, you know, a foot and a half wide and 3 inches deep, and that's just on the first pass.
Jeez.
And you know, when you're thatching, you should go, you know, one way and then the opposite way and then maybe diagonally, just to make sure you covered all your ground and did a good job. There's no sense in, you know, if you're going to rent the machine to not
use
every bit of it that you can, because they're expensive, fairly expensive to rent. You know, it's going to cost you, $100 or $120 for the day.
For the day?
Yeah. Mm. But
that is spendy.
Yeah, it's spendy, but you don't have to do it, but say every 3 or 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Oh,
depending
okay.
on your grass.
Like you say, months.
No. Because it takes several years, and even when you have the best mower in the world that sucks up all the grass when you're cutting, it still misses a portion of that, and that stuff that's cut and then drifts down into the grass that's left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after 3 or 4 years, you got quite a buildup in there, It's just to keep it green and healthy and all that. Like I say, every 3 years or maybe 4 years,
you got to get that
clean that stuff out.
Junk,
you know,
out of there.
Exactly. So anyway, as I was saying earlier before the call, I've learned a lot over the years, not only from my callers who question, but it has forced me to really do a lot more research than I normally would have done, so that I have some expertise on which to talk about certain things. And then when I do get some calls that I'm not quite sure of, I give the best answer that I can at the time. But afterwards, I dig into my books and say, that question was this, and I do some research and get a better understanding of it. So this show has been educational to me at the same time. And
so it's a two-way street.
Oh yeah, it's a two-way street. I love questions. I love the calls. I mean, it helps me. But you know, at the nursery all these years, you know, a lot of folks come in. I'd say 60-70% of the folks come in are beginners. They've never done this before. They never planted a plant, never had a yard, maybe, you know, that kind of thing. So
they
have a what's this do and how does it grow and what kind of soil does it need and how do I plant it, how do I water it, how do I fertilize it, you know. And even if they don't ask those questions, and I know that they're inexperienced, I'll give them the information anyway. And you know, the most folks are real gratified. Well, thanks, I appreciate that. I didn't know I had to do that, or I didn't know I had, you know, what kind of soil to put in there. I thought I'd just dig a hole and stick it in there.
Yeah.
And sometimes, depending on the plant, sometimes it'll grow, but most often, it struggles because of our clay ground in Douglas County. Which
that's such fine material.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, with this being the Christmas season.
Yeah.
I guess it's time to go out there and select the perfect Christmas tree for your living room. And, you know, we have lots of choices. We even have real trees nowadays.
Yeah, we're not talking about the fake trees from China.
No, not fake trees from China. Real trees. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when some of the Christmas ads were coming out last month, prior to Thanksgiving. I saw these fake trees, the pictures of them, like in, I don't know if it was Home Depot or one of those coastal, something like that. There was, you know, they got the lights on and pretty pictures and all this. And this one was $768.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I choked. I thought, it's got to be a misprint, but it wasn't. $768 for a fake tree.
What was so stinking special?
I don't know. I don't know. It was like 6-7 foot or 8 foot maybe. And, and you know, picture perfect and every branch perfect. And you just... And the lights are they're on there all the time. So you just take the tree in, stand it up, plug it in, boom, you're done. But $768?
That's more than my budget for Christmas.
That's more than I get paid in 6 months, for crying out loud. My wife keeps a real tight rein.
I'm right behind you.
So if you want a perfect, I don't know if they'd be perfect, natural tree.
Yeah.
You know, there are some selections, many selections actually you can choose from. And, you know, the artificial ones, of course, have taken a bite out of the real tree market. But fresh cut trees are my favorite simply because they smell good, they look good, and they're natural. They're not perfect, they're just natural. But here in Oregon, you're going to find, you know, Douglas fir, noble fir, Nordam fir, and grand fir as the primary varieties that are for sale at any tree lot. And it's hard to determine which one is the best seller. Douglas fir seems to be the number one seller because most of them are sheared and they're nice looking.
Old reliable,
yeah. But since the fake trees have come on, you know, like I say, there's less and less of that happening. But millions of Doug fir are grown in Oregon. I mean, that's a huge market here in Oregon. And
a lot of those go to California.
Well, most are shipped all over the United States. And Mexico is a big buyer of Douglas fir.
I didn't even think about Mexico.
Well, one year we went to, we took a vacation to Cabo San Lucas at the tip of Baja, right?
Yeah.
Okay, nothing but desert and sand and ocean, right? And we're walking downtown in the main drag in Cabo. And it was like, a week before Thanksgiving, somewhere in that vicinity, or maybe the first week of December. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I saw a Christmas tree on a wooden stand sitting outside this shop. There was actually several of them, but I saw this one that stood out. And I went, wow, look at that. And it was a Douglas fir.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And I looked at it, and it was a Douglas fir from Oregon on the tag. And it wasn't very large, maybe 3 feet, 3.5 feet. And it was on a wooden stand, and it was actually kind of pathetic looking because it was a little a little dry, and down there it's 80 degrees, and it's sitting out on the sidewalk in the hot sun all day long.
It was probably the last one of the bunch.
But they had them all over. I mean, everywhere.
Isn't that something?
Whoa, I was amazed. But, you know, we sell our marketplace for Douglas fir Christmas trees are worldwide, you know. And it's, like I say, a major industry. I don't know how many billions a year or hundreds of millions a year, but it's way up there in the top of the agricultural products.
True, because you start seeing those truckloads of...
Oh, yeah. Truckloads going everywhere.
Yeah.
And millions, you know, you get up into the Willamette Valley. There's a few Christmas tree farms around here, but you get up into the Willamette Valley and you start to see more and more. And then the farther north you get, especially where my son lives out in Boring, which is east of Portland, there are Christmas trees to the horizon growing. Yeah. Big, you know... Hundreds of acres of Christmas trees.
That's a few trees.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what if any of them make it to China?
I'm sure they do. I wouldn't say no. Like I say, it's a worldwide market. So, But You know, and they
I was going to make a smart aleck comment.
No smart aleck remarks on this show, buddy. But usually these are all sheared. A natural dug fur is, it's natural, but, and it's, you know, kind of uneven, and most folks, they're not, you know, I don't care. When we had little kids and stuff and no money, I'd go out and cut a tree for $5 and, one branch is kind of, a little longer than the other, and there's a couple of missing branches in
it
the
don't
middle.
Matter.
No, you put the lights on it and the tinsel and the ornaments and stuff, and hey, you can't tell there's anything missing.
Do a little trimming.
But as time went on, yeah, a little trimming. But as time went on, and the industry, of course, is always trying to find a way to make their trees more professional and appealing to the clients.
Right.
You know, it's that's the way it goes. They're sheared. They're good. They're good to go. We have a break. A break. Okay.
There it is. All right. 4:35. Right back with more Christmas talk on Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden
Christmas
Show.
Trees.
Trees, baby.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Told you we'd be back.
Yeah, we are. It's amazing. You're pretty good with that machine there.
Well.
I'm impressed. I couldn't have done it.
It didn't take long.
Anyway, I'm talking about Christmas trees. Yep. I was talking about the Douglas fir, which is, like the primary tree of Oregon. But there are others on the market that are really good, and the grand fir, of course, is a native tree, and it's a nice looking tree. They're more natural, and those usually are not sheared because they're very symmetrical without any shearing, and they have very glossy green needles with like white lines underneath the needles, and it's very attractive tree. It doesn't need shearing. And it's more uniform in its growth habit. You might have to prune a wayward branch here and there, but they're very good. The only problem with that is we've had a few hot summers, and they're usually a non-irrigated tree growing in a field. And with the heat that we have had and the dryness that we have had, the needles on a lot of them have discolored and turned brown, and a portion of them, of course, have died just outright. But the ones that are left in the field, there weren't any available this year for us to buy into the nursery, because we sell Christmas trees at the nursery. And we also didn't get a lot of Doug fir in, because the same kind of thing happened there. In the dry and the heat for a few years in a row robs the soil moisture, so consequently the tree just doesn't shape up like it should be. Now, up north in the Portland area, they get more precipitation. You figure from north of Eugene all the way up into Portland area, they get maybe 20% more, maybe 30% more precipitation each year than we do here in Douglas County. Also, when we're having a 100-degree day, their day is like maybe 89 or 90.
Yeah, it's a little cooler.
It's a little cooler, so they don't have as much tree damage like on our Christmas trees as we do down here in our area.
Mm-hmm.
But the noble fir, of course, is
the granddaddy.
One of the granddaddies, and it grows naturally at high elevations, and it's very open-branched tree with space between the branches to hang the special ornaments and things like that. And they're kind of a bluish green in color, and a very, very pretty Christmas tree, and high price compared to, say, Douglas fir or grand fir, because they're harder to grow. It takes longer to grow a tree to, say, the 6 or 7 foot or 8 foot size. And it takes not twice as long, but maybe if you can grow a Doug fir maturity in, say, 5 to 6 years, the noble fir would take maybe 7 or 8 years. It would take a little bit longer time. So, besides them being beautiful, you got a bigger investment in growth, and mm-hmm. so consequently, they're a higher price.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, when my kids were young, we used to buy the $5 permit and head up to Diamond Lake and trudge through the snow up to our hips and say, oh, there's a tree way over there, Dad, let's go get that one.
Oh, yeah, over there, the old 4x4.
And it takes you about 10 minutes to go 100 feet in the snow.
Yep.
But, and then drag the tree back and take it home and all that. And that was always a great time, because after you get the tree, you go to the Diamond Lake Lodge and eat their chili.
Yep, little hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate chili, and say, oh, okay, I'm good to go now. But anyway, and nobles, they were such a hot topic, or a hot tree, that, I don't know, it's probably 9 or 10 years ago, I got 900 seedlings, and I planted them in my field at the nursery.
Oh, is that right?
I'm going to knock this market in the teeth here.
Yeah.
And and I knew they took longer, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, that year, I guess it was probably August, we had a week of really, really extreme heat. Oh. And I was irrigating these things, because mm-hmm. I've got field irrigation. And one day I went out there, and it was like all 900 were dead.
Oh, no.
They were all brown. And it was like in a day they went from green to brown.
Oh.
Every stinking one of them.
That sucks.
Oh, yeah. After planting them and spending the water, the fertilizer, and the weeding and all the other stuff.
That's horrible.
I couldn't believe it. I lost all 900 of them. And they just can't take that extreme heat. Obviously I don't have any shade out there, because I'm a nursery, I'm growing things. But that's why from, say, Eugene North, you can grow these, because it doesn't get as hot or for as long.
Mm-hmm.
And it rains more. So consequently, it's a better growing condition. And, of course, the higher the elevation, if you got out into the Glide area, for instance, had a place out in there that got afternoon shade in a valley, they would probably grow fairly well out there. Mm. And to a certain extent.
But, yeah.
So
there are places around. Okay.
Yeah, there are places around that you could do them, but it has to have the right conditions. And I would say something that had morning sun and afternoon shade when in the heat of the day would be the perfect solution, the perfect situation for them to grow. And at my nursery, I don't have that situation. When the sun pops up in the east, we're in sun. When it goes down in the west, we're still in sun. So, it's an all-day affair.
That's you found out that hard way.
Well, yeah. I thought, well, shoot, if they can do it in Portland, I can do a better job
here. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But
Portland weird.
I found the perfect tree, though, and it's called the Nordham fir.
Nordham.
Nordham fir is spelled Nordham. Nordham. And more of these are being grown commercially. In fact, that's all we have for cut trees this year is Nordham firs.
Oh, okay.
They're very drought resistant. I planted some out at my home place, I think 3 years ago. I watered them once the first year they were in, and because I had to put a pump in the creek and do all that kind of stuff, and it was a real long, drawn-out thing. Hmm. But they haven't been watered since, and I think out of the 100 I planted, I've lost 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
and that's with no water, no care, and they're not very tall. They're maybe, some of them are maybe 2 feet tall. They're slower growing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a noble, except they're deep, deep green. They're real green. They're beautiful green. And like I say, they look like a noble, only they're a little fuller. Noble has spaces between the branch whorls. Well, the Nordham has a little bit of space, but not as much. But it's not real thick like a Douglas fir or a Grand fir.
Mm,
so
okay.
it's like the perfect substitute for a noble fir. And so anyway, more of these, of course, like I said, are being grown commercially because they are drought resistant. And they do well in our climate. It doesn't matter how hot it gets; they seem to just go right through it and not have a problem. And I've grown some for living Christmas trees that we've potted, and that way somebody can take a living tree home, put it in there by their picture window or their patio window, or even pull it in the house and have a good looking tree, and then plant it in their yard. Should they have the room to plant it in their yard and, say, hey, this was our living Christmas tree one time. And I did that years ago with my kids. We had a living tree. We've had several of them, but we had one year. We all planted it, and they got to watch it grow. So
cool.
That was our Christmas tree 10 years ago or 20 years ago, Oh, gosh.
You still have it?
Yeah, I can't tell which one it is anymore because I got so darn many trees.
It made a new home.
Yeah, it's got a new home now. Oh, golly. But the Nordham fir if you want to see one, come to Wintergreen Nursery. We have some for sale, but it is really a picturesque tree. There's not a lot of pruning you have to do to it. It's like something you see in the movies. It's just very pyramidal, symmetrically pyramidal, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And there is some spacing between the branches, but not as much as like the noble fir. And if you want a live one, I've got small live ones that they're probably 2 to 3 feet tall, and that would be a tree that you could stick up on your coffee table and decorate it and then plant it in your yard afterwards. I don't have any large ones. One year we had large ones, and the problem with the large ones, by the time you dig them in the ball of roots and you got this huge pod, it takes two men to pick them up and move them.
Mm.
I mean, that's how heavy all of it is, because you got that big pot full of soil.
Yeah.
And if you don't have If you cut off too many roots, of course, it's not going to survive. So consequently, you've got the weight that goes along with the prettiness.
The mortality rate's higher.
Yeah. But they are a tough tree, and they're I think they're one of the trees of the future. And I don't know where they originate. As I was doing some of my research, I didn't stumble onto where do they originate.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in Nordham land or something like that. But here in Oregon, we have a great selection of trees to choose from. So, you know, support our state and buy an Oregon-grown tree. They are the best.
Yeah, right. Right on, baby.
You know, and I remember visiting a friend in L.A. years ago, and there were Oregon-grown Douglas fir from Portland in a lot of these, Home Depots and places like that.
Yeah.
And he said, got me a fir tree from Oregon, man. And this was down in Orange County, you know. And I think we went to the beach that day, and then afterwards we went tree shopping, you know. So, I mean, it's far
that's
and wide.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It really, truly is. So. Now, as I said, or made reference to just a little bit ago, some families prefer a living Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. Buy one that's alive, decorate it. You can put lights on it and tinsel and bulbs.
It saves you money year after year.
Yeah. And you can keep it in a big enough pot. You can do that and move it in the house. Or plant it in the yard kind of close to, say, if you have a deck or something like that with sliding glass doors. You know, plant it so that it's very visible and decorate it when it's in the yard and just plug it in, and every year you got it, you know. And I do that out at my house. There's a few trees that I string lights on, and they shine all December, and it's dark in the canyon at night, and somebody driving up, all of a sudden there's this lit Christmas tree out in the field. Where'd that thing come from?
What's that, Martha?
I don't know. It looks like a Christmas tree, Al.
We got to take a break.
Okay, we'll be back.
All right, couple of minutes. We shall return on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, it's fun doing ads, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
All right, we're back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show for about another 6 minutes. What do you say?
6 minutes, that's it? Man, I got three more pages of notes.
We've been having a blast.
This must be Christmas time or something.
It must be.
Well, anyway, in the last segment, I was speaking about potted living trees that you can, buy and plant them or keep them in a pot and go from there. And, it's good. But here's a couple of things you need to, points to remember. How's that? First, put them in a spot where they're not going to get hot. Not next to the heater, not next to the fireplace, that stuff.
Burn the house down.
I could. a cool corner if you have one. And if the roots begin to warm up in a house that's too hot, or if they're near a source of heat, they may start to grow and become active. And then when you put the tree outside and just in time for a foot of snow, those brand new roots take a beating. So you don't want to do that. But the tree's going to suffer from going from a 70-degree living room to a backyard of 30 or
I would or 20,
too. Yeah, 25. it's a good idea to only keep it in the house maybe 4 or 5 days max. And don't let it dry out. You can water it and keep the roots damp. Or buy what we did. We used to buy a bag of ice or two bags of ice and just put it in the pot around the base of the tree. And as the ice slowly melted,
it would stay a steady temp.
And it would have the steady watering, but it wasn't so much water that it ran out the drain holes in the bottom and ruined your carpet or your floor of some sort.
Well, that's clever.
Well, I know. I'm sure. I made it up. But like I say, the ice melts slowly and it doesn't make a mess and it keeps the root ball cold. Now, when you do put it out, if it's really cold, the garage is a good place for the transition to begin. The garage may not be heated, but it's at least not ice inside the garage. And, you know, keep it in there for about a week or so until you see the weather not getting down into the freezing mark when it's only getting in maybe 38 or 39. Then you can put it outside and, you know, keep it out there until you're ready to plant it. Mm-hmm. And in the garage, maybe keep it a week, maybe 10 days. Then try to get it by a window or at least turn a light on and then transfer it outside. And like I say, just wait for any extreme weather that's going to blow in. Make sure that's over and then plant your living Christmas tree and you're good to go. Another method is to keep the living tree outside in the first place, like I said earlier, by a patio sliding door or something. So mm-hmm. you can view it from the inside, yet it's out there in the natural. The lights are on it. It's decorated. It looks good.
It's not going to hurt it.
No mess in the house, and you can water it until the cows come home, and it's good to go. And it's acclimated, and that's a good thing. So, and remember this, living trees of any size can be heavy. So consider a smaller tree and a smaller pot, and you're going to be a very thankful that you didn't have to hoist a 200-pound tree and get your neighbor Bob next door to, hey, can help me take my Christmas tree out, Bob. It's only a 200-pounder. Yeah. But and that's kind of why we're getting away from the large living trees. It's not everyone, I mean, we might sell two or three, four, because some people want to experience it. And, cause I did my first living tree back in the 70s just to see if I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course I did it all incorrectly. And, it was a small Doug fir, say about 5 feet tall. And I dug it up. Of course, I didn't get a root ball on it. I practically bare rooted it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I quickly repotted it and we brought it in the house and decorated it. And I watered it and all that. And I decorated my wife did. Mm-hmm. And it served very well as a Christmas tree. So after Christmas, took all the stuff off it, put it outside. It was still in the pot. And probably within 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, all the needles were brown.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
All the needles were brown and falling off, and I knew I had killed the tree. Number one, from improper digging. Number two, because it was probably too hot in the house. Number three, because I maybe didn't give it enough water, or maybe I gave it too much water. And, you know, it just didn't work. So that's that was my first experiment. I failed miserably. So you guys don't have to fail miserably. Don't do what I did. Don't do what I just said I did. If you're going to get a living tree, buy one that's already potted. It's been growing in the pot for a couple of years. You're not gonna hurt it by bringing it in the house for 4 or 5 days, or you leaving it out in the yard. It can stay in your yard for a year in the pot. You don't have to plant it, you know, tomorrow. And that way you can enjoy it, and then that's good for long range stories, especially if you have small children and they got a living tree and they decorate it, and you know it's the whole thing of Christmas, and then you all plant it together and watch it grow, and when they're adults and then their young children know it, say, yeah, that was our living tree.
Still there.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Next week I'm going to speak about poinsettias and those hot red leaf plants.
The holiday plant.
You bet. Poinsettias.
Where are you located at, Mike?
Oh, Highway 99, south of Winston. 8580 is the address, but nobody ever looks. But we have all of our roofs are green, and you can't miss us, okay?
It's 5 o'clock.
Goodbye.